Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our reading for the day of Pentecost comes from our second reading of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the name of Jesus. Today is the day of Pentecost, 49 days removed from Easter, which then, of course, makes this the 50th day of Easter. In all actuality, today is just a continuation of Easter. Each and every single day since that great and glorious day is a continuation of Easter. You and I, we live in this post-Easter world, meaning that all that we know, all that we do, exists in the truth of what Easter is. Death is dead. Sins are forgiven. Satan is defeated, gasping for breath, knowing that his days are quickly numbered. We sit in between the two great days of resurrection, first Christ's and then ours. We await that second Easter, the final Easter, the day in which Christ will come again to judge both the living and the dead. The day in which we will no longer have to say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," because he will have already come and fulfilled his final and last promise of a day of no more pain and suffering, sin or death. And that day will last forever. And so we come here today to remember and to celebrate this day, the day of Pentecost, the continuous day of Easter. And we know what that all means. We know what this life of ours is all about. We live in the promise of the resurrection. We live under the cross of Christ, where his blood was poured out to forgive the sins of all mankind. We come here to receive that victory of Christ's cross and his empty tomb, given in time and space, in word and water, bread and wine. We come as sinful beggars, made clean in the robes of Christ's righteousness, knowing that for the sake of Christ and Christ alone, all things have been given to us. To live under the cross is a life well lived, because a life under the cross is a life that is sanctified and made holy through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's this Spirit that was sent out on the day of Pentecost so many years ago. It was the promise fulfilled, spoken by Jesus and poured out on the apostles that they might go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things that Christ commanded, so that Christ our Lord could be with us always to the very end of the age. As the Holy Spirit descended upon those 12 men, they were given a gift. And the first part of that gift was the ability to speak in languages that they never could before. One speaks in the language of the Medes, the next in the language of the Egyptians. All were given this amazing and otherworldly gift. But remember, a gift like this, a gift given by God, is never for the good of the recipient, but always for the good of the neighbor. This is how our Lord works. This is the way in which he distributes these churchly gifts of the Spirit. Whatever they might be, they are given so that they might benefit the person sitting next to you. And so, for the disciples, the gift of tongues, this impossible gift of languages, was given so that they might give out an even greater, an even better, more important gift. They didn't get this gift of tongues so that they could chat with the guy down at the marketplace or swap recipes with some lady from Mesopotamia. Instead, this gift was given so that they could proclaim the mighty works of God. And so they began speaking and proclaiming of the Old Testament. They spoke of that first gospel promise found in Genesis, and then that great Red Sea crossing, and they preached about the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the priests, and the Ark of the Covenant. They talked about David and Goliath, Solomon and the temple, Jonah and that great fish, the Babylonian captivity, along with Daniel and his lion's den. They recited Moses and the prophets, and they sang hymns of the Psalms. And all of this was done in a way to point forward and lead their hearers to the fulfillment of everything. And so then we have Peter taking up this sermon and bringing us to its conclusion, that man Jesus, who had been crucified 7 weeks earlier and burst forth from the tomb 3 days later, who had spent 40 days teaching the disciples everything that they needed to know to preach Christ crucified into the fallen world, that Jesus is God in the flesh. And he's the very God who gives life, eternal life. That's what it's all about. That's what Pentecost is all about. It's all about Jesus. Everything always is. His perfect life, his perfect death, his glorious resurrection from the dead, his ascension to the right hand of the Father. Pentecost is about Jesus. But not just Jesus only for the apostles. And not Jesus only for a select group of people based on lineage and ancestry, but Jesus for the world, Jesus for everyone, Jesus for you. If you really want to be blown away by the magnificence of this whole Pentecost thing, ponder just for a moment that it was from this very first Pentecost that the gospel of Jesus Christ has made its way through continents, over oceans, through countries, only to be found here in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. The Holy Spirit has worked for generations and centuries, through war and peace, through dark ages and enlightenment, through too many days and nights and miles and fathoms to even count, so that he can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, dead on a cross, risen from the grave, ascended into the heavens for you. It hurts the head just to wrap our minds around this. Just think about the history of your own little congregation. What transpired so that this building could stand here for decades like it has? Think of all of the faithful men that God has placed into this pulpit, all preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Christ into your ears and the ears of all of those who came before us. Think of all the people who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ here at this font, been given the body and blood of their Savior here at this altar, had their sins proclaimed forgiven by unworthy lips just like mine. And all of this was made possible through that first day of Pentecost when the apostles were placed into the office of sent ones, of preachers and proclaimers, so that you could hear the glorious and magnificent gospel of Christ Jesus for you. Jesus did not deem you past saving. And so he had you in mind that very first Pentecost, just like he had you in mind when he prayed for you on Maundy Thursday and died for you on Good Friday. He did not deem you past saving. And so he made sure that when the time came for you to be brought forth into this world, his gospel would have made its way from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago so that you could be baptized into him, so that you could continually have the forgiveness of sins spoken over you, so that you could be fed with his life-giving and life-saving body and blood each and every single Sunday mornings of your life. God did not deem you past saving. And so he made sure that Jesus and his cross would be yours, exactly where and when you are. Such a thing is completely and utterly mind-blowing. And yet here you are today, receiving Jesus, just like he promised. Just like he ordained so very long ago on that first day of Pentecost. And so we do. We gather here. We gather here in this place as often as our Lord provides for us. We gather here to have our sins forgiven. We gather here together, united as one in Christ. But the temptation for us, and not just for us, but for every single congregation established by the Holy Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost, the temptation is to turn inward. The days are fast approaching. Goodness, they're already here when we will look out into the world outside of these walls and we will become increasingly scared of what we see. Now, there is nothing new under the sun, of course. Everything that we're experiencing now, others have experienced the same or far worse throughout the last 2,000 years. But what we see still terrifies us. It makes us want to shun the world, to hold tightly to what we have inside these walls and make for ourselves some impenetrable little fortress that can never be broken. Such a silly thing when you stop and think about it. For the church is not our church, but the Lord's church. And He's promised that not even the gates of hell will prevail against her. The church will not crumble. It will not fall. It will never cease to exist. That is the promise of our God, the promise poured out on Pentecost. So put away those fears and trust in the God who has conquered sin and death and the devil, and who has somehow miraculously been able to bring that victory to you right here today. But even more silly, and not really silly, sinful actually, is the belief that we may sometimes slip into that says that those outside of these walls are past saving. If God has not deemed you past saving, He hasn't deemed them past saving either. The people who dwell in the houses that surround this congregation are not past saving. The people of the city of Wheat Ridge are not past saving. The people of Colorado are not past saving. The people of this country are not past saving. The people of this world are not past saving. Jesus Christ is for you. That's what Pentecost means. But then, of course, it also means that Jesus is for them, for those outside of these walls, for those that we might deem too far gone. They aren't. They never will be. That's the promise of Pentecost. If the cross wasn't for you, if the cross wasn't for them, if the cross wasn't for everyone, then there would have never been a Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit was poured out on the apostles that day, and they did go out and preach Christ crucified into the known world. And from there, in that moment, the gospel has made its way across the globe into every nation and people and language, including ours. We've all been placed into different vocations, been given different charges in our lives to fulfill. Parents, teach your children well. Bring them up in the Word of God. Instill in them the truths that lie therein. Bring them to the font, to the divine service, to catechism instruction. Bring them to Sunday school. Lead them to this altar, so that they might know that Jesus is for them. And husbands and wives, fulfill the vocation that God has placed upon you. Encourage each other. Forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you, so that your spouse might know that Jesus is for them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have that awkward conversation with your neighbor as you're mowing your lawn and tending your garden, so that they might know that Jesus is for them. Congregation, pray unceasingly for your pastors, for missionaries and teachers and preachers and deaconesses, that the gospel may have free course and be proclaimed unto the nations, that all might know that Jesus is for them. Members of Wheat Ridge Evangelical Lutheran Church, invite your friends, Invite your family, your co-workers, your acquaintances, even your enemies inside these walls, not just once, but over and over again. Let them know, under each and every single circumstance, that Jesus is for them. That's the message of Pentecost. Jesus is for you. For you here inside these walls, for your children and your children's children, for neighbors and friends and strangers, for all those outside these walls. Jesus is for you. Jesus is for them. Jesus is for everyone. The Holy Spirit poured out on Pentecost promises that. In the name of Jesus.